The headline is Los Angeles. Two women, two sisters, go for a walk near a bike path. They hear a sound. One says it's a cat. The other says, no, I think it's a baby. So they investigate. As they investigate, they find a baby wrapped in a thin blanket underneath shards of asphalt and rubble. The baby girl is less than 2 days old. New York City. The custodian at the Holy Child of Jesus Church hears what he thinks is the sound of a baby. He goes to investigate. He finds a newborn baby wrapped in towels inside a wooden manger in the church's nativity scene. The umbilical cord is still attached. The minister goes on Twitter and tweets, "For unto us a child is born." Then he says, "Let us pray for this child, for its parents, and whoever will receive the child into their home." In the congregation of that church, a family offered to adopt the baby. And, not having a name yet, they nicknamed the baby, Baby Jesus. Now, there was a shooting in Strasbourg this past week, a Christmas market. Last weekend, I returned on Sunday night from Prague, the Czech Republic. I, too, was at a Christmas market. In fact, in Prague, there were a plethora of Christmas markets. There were trees, there were decorations, lots of food, lots of shops, signs. And the signs reminded you of the gift of giving. Perhaps crass commercialism, right? Czechoslovakia. See, now it's called the Czech Republic. But Czechoslovakia became an independent state in 1918 in the aftermath of World War I. In 1918, see, I talked to people perhaps in the know, 80% of the population in 1918 were Christian, were believers. In the aftermath of World War II, Czechoslovakia was annexed to the Soviet Empire, a secular, atheistic state was created. With the fall of the Iron Curtain beginning in 1989, the Czechs became independent of Slovakia and of the Soviet bloc. Now, as I do my research and talk to people in the Czech Republic, today, post-communism, atheism, 80% of the population claim to be non-believers. See, 80%, Brian, were believers. Now it's reversed. 80% claim not to be believers. 2.5% are Catholic. 2.5% are Protestant. A lesser number are Jewish. And then a plethora of other religions. Hence, I asked tour guides, I asked questions. Well, you know what, if this is the case in Czech Republic, why the celebration of Christmas? Why Christmas gifts? They don't believe in, Santa Claus. They don't give gifts in the name of Santa Claus. But they give gifts. They give gifts in the name of the baby Jesus. Is that kind of strange? See, perhaps a good tradition, but as I heard Bob say, they divorced Bethlehem from Calvary, right? Might do that in Calgary too. They divorce Bethlehem from Calvary. The baby Jesus is safe. Give gifts. Because we can domesticate the baby Jesus and keep the baby Jesus in the manger. And if we keep the baby Jesus in the manger, he makes no claim for himself and no claim on us. You know that is it a hymn or song, Christmas song, Away in a Manger? It says, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I don't think that was true. Jesus, God, became fully human. I can hear the baby Jesus crying. And Jesus grows up, doesn't he? And he cries. He weeps at the death of Lazarus. And he weeps over Jerusalem and the sin of our world. So in the Czech Republic, they made a journey in 100 years, perhaps a generation, from faith to non-faith. Well, can we reverse that story in the Czech Republic or downtown Milton or Brampton, wherever you may live? What if we encountered the full narrative of the Jesus story? Even the full narrative of the birth of Christ, as you find it in Matthew and Luke. And it does say, at the end of the birth story, doesn't leave Jesus in the manger, he grew up, filled with wisdom, God's Spirit, filled with the grace of God. George Herbert has a very, very short poem, which is sort of the title of my lesson. He says, the God of power, he did descend, undressed all the way. See, God came all the way, didn't he? The God of power, the creator God, he did descend, undressed, transparent, came as a baby into our world all the way. Fully God and fully man. When Luke writes his gospel about Jesus Christ, he says at the very beginning, I carefully investigate everything. I interview eyewitnesses. I examine historical records. The first four verses of Luke chapter 1. Luke is an historian, but he's also a medical doctor. And I can see Luke interviewing people, interviewing Mary as an historian, but as a medical doctor wanting to know the details of the birth of Jesus. Now, only Mary has a firsthand experience of the testimony of the angel Gabriel and of the conception of the Christ child via the Holy Spirit, which results in the subsequent virgin birth. Now, only in the Gospels Matthew and Luke provide any incidents, any detail with respect to the birth of Jesus. And they do it not for reasons of apologetics, not to provide evidence or proof to skeptics, but a straightforward explanation, the historicity, the facts of the Messiah, and the dual nature of Jesus. He was and is fully human because Mary was his mother. And he is and he was and is fully God because God is his father. See, if you go back to the very beginning of time, if God is, if there is a God, if God is creator, the creator of life, if he creates sperm and ovum, then God, if he so chooses, can impregnate ovum with his Holy Spirit. See, this story is, for a lot of people, not only mysterious, but challenging in terms of belief. God the Creator, who fills the whole universe with himself, makes himself small. In fact, in Philippians 2, verse 7, it says, God makes himself how small? God makes himself nothing. The Creator shrank and became an ovum, became a fetus, and then enlarged cell by cell in the uterus of a young woman. What happens to us? If Christ, the Holy Spirit, enters her life, see, it may begin small, mustard seed, a grain, but here's how it expands and fills not only ourselves, but fills the whole universe. So the question is not the virgin birth per se, but the nature of God. Do you believe? Do the people you know believe in miracles? Or angels? Or God? Now, a survey of religion in Canada indicates three categories: those who reject any religion, those who are ambivalent, any religion, and those who embrace any religion. Among those who reject any religion, 40% believe in miracles. Well, if you reject religion, how can you believe miracles? But we're not always consistent. Among those ambivalent to religion, 72% believe in miracles. Of those who embrace religion of any kind, 89% believe in miracles. Among those who reject religion, 26% believe in angels. Ambivalent, 64% believe in angels. Those who embrace any religion, 90% believe in angels. Prayer, do people pray? Those who reject religion, 40% pray regularly. I like to hear their prayer. Among those who are ambivalent, 64% pray to a personal God who cares. But they're kind of wishy-washy, aren't they? Among those who believe in God, a higher power, 73% pray to God. So the real question is, if God is what you and I consider to be a miracle, ain't bad language, grammar, a miracle. For God, it's natural. The one who creates even natural laws of our universe. So the Apostle John testifies. May I personalize the pronouns? It does talk about Jesus being Word. It does use pronouns about Jesus, but the whole context of John 1 is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Let me insert, maybe for emphasis, the name Jesus, who is the Word of God. So John writes, just like Genesis begins, in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. The light Jesus shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it or overcome it. Jesus, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. Jesus became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen Jesus' glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No man has ever seen God, but Jesus, God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, Jesus has made him known. Now, Matthew begins his gospel with the genealogy of Christ. He begins in verse 1 by saying, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Who is he? Who's your father? The son of David. That gives you credibility. See, we can place you in time, we can place you in history. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And the genealogy ends in Matthew chapter 1. in verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, Luke, he also referenced the genealogy of Jesus, but he does so after Jesus' baptism, where he says about Jesus, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. Prior to the temptation, where Luke says, Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit. And then he began his ministry. Jesus was a son. Notice, Luke 3:23. Jesus was a son. So it was thought, the public. They thought of Jesus as the son of Joseph, the son of David, who was the son of Jesse, Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, Noah, the son of Lamech, Seth, he was the son of Adam, and there are others in the family tree. And finally it says in Luke 3:37, Jesus, the Son of God. See, that's Luke's declaration. Luke tells us when Jesus was born. In the time of King Herod, the king of the Jews. In the time of Zechariah, the priest. In the time of Caesar Augustus, the Roman God-man. In the time of Quirinius, the governor of Syria, who issued the census. Luke proceeds to tell a parallel story, Jesus, but also the birth of John the Baptizer. Zechariah was the father of John, and Zechariah has a vision while serving in the temple. An angel appears to Zechariah and says, I am, is that God's name? I am Gabriel. See, language is important. I stand in the presence of God. I've been sent, world, to tell you, Zechariah, good news. Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, is to finally have a child in her old age. Of John, notice all the characters, of John, the angel states, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. On her pregnancy, Elizabeth responds, the Lord has shown his favor. In Elizabeth's 6 month of pregnancy, Gabriel the angel is sent by God to Nazareth in Galilee to a virgin pledged to Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name is Mary. Notice now in Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 28. See, if you have a Bible, there's a dialogue. We can make this a drama, right? Here is the narrator, here is the angel Gabriel, and here is Mary. Make for a good Christmas play. But not just a play. Reality. Gabriel says to Mary, greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary, a young woman, was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of a greeting would this be. In Luke 2, verse 30, Gabriel says to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will give birth to a son, and you'll call him the name Jesus. See, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus, for a reason, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 32 of Luke, the second chapter. Jesus will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Think of Jewish history. And verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom, the Jewish kingdom, the Roman kingdom, secular kingdoms, will never end. Mary inquires, how can this be since I am a virgin? Verse 35, Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. See, everyone, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, is at work. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called your son of somebody, but in this case, son of God. Gabriel makes reference to Elizabeth's pregnancy, and he says in verse 37, for nothing, think of God, nothing, Elizabeth, Mary, is impossible with God. Mary says, I am, God's name, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. What's the Beatles song, Mother Mary? How does that go? See, the refrain in Mother Mary, the Beatles song, like Mary said, let it be. Mary visits Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's baby, John, leapt in Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth, it says, is filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 41. With inspired speech, Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. Now, note, Luke provides poetry. He provides praise. He provides a song from Mary. Does Mary sing the song? It's called Mary's Song. So Luke chapter 1, verse 46 beginning, and Mary said, or sang, my soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. In many European churches, I've discovered, they may not use the phrase Virgin Mary, they might use the phrase Our Lady. It's the church of Our Lady will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to all those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Now, when you read this, it sounds like Isaiah. It sounds like the prophecies in terms of the Lord's Messiah. And to whom will he come? Whom will he liberate? Whom will he serve? At the birth and naming of John, everyone wondered, what then this child, John, to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Zechariah, the priest, John's father, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he too has a song, and he prophesies. So Zechariah, in Luke chapter 1:67 beginning, says, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. That's John, right? Prepare the way, the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come from heaven. The rising sun? Well, it's spelled here S-U-N, but I think in the context, it means the rising sun, S-O-N of God, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. Luke 2. There's a birth in Bethlehem. Now, Luke simply relates the facts of the birth of Christ. He says, well, Joseph travels from Nazareth in Galilee, to Bethlehem in Judea, a town of David, because Joseph belonged to the line, the house of David. He went to register for the census with Mary, who was pledged to be married to Joseph, and Mary was expecting a child. In Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to a firstborn son in a manger. See, the manger is a feeding trough. The manger is a stall. Matthew, his account, much less detailed. But Matthew says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, Mary was with child through the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1, verse 18. Joseph, her husband, via betrothal, a marriage contract signed in advance, was a righteous man. He did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace, and so sought to divorce or annul the contract quietly or privately in verse 19. But the angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because, note, what is conceived in her is an action. It's from the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1, verse 20. She will give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, Matthew quotes Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. See, Isaiah, his whole point, and maybe by extension Matthew, the whole point, maybe you don't understand all the story and how God works, but believe it, Emmanuel, God has done this. God is with us. So Joseph takes Mary home, perhaps foregoing a community wedding. He had no union with her until Jesus was born. Now, note, in some traditions, the idea of immaculate conception, Mary was always immaculate, okay? That idea comes much later, beyond New Testament times. Matthew presents a detailed account of events following the birth. He mentions the stir in the east, the visit of the Magi, the flight to Egypt, the slaughter of the innocents, the babies by Herod, the return to Nazareth after Herod's death. Okay. Luke gives an account of the visit of the shepherds and the angels to Bethlehem, but then takes us to the temple, where Jesus is named and dedicated on the eighth day. Simeon. Let's end with Simeon. Simeon is at the temple. Jesus, in Luke 2, 25 beginning, is presented to Simeon. Simeon is described as a righteous man, a devout man, who waits and waits for the consolation of Israel. And again, the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon, thus moved by the Spirit, he took Jesus in his arms, the baby, and praised God. So in Luke 2, 29 beginning, Simeon says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too. And the last appearance in the temple is to the prophet Anna. After her husband died, 7 years of marriage, it says, she never left the temple. She worshiped, she fasted, she prayed night and day. She gave thanks to God for the child. She spoke about Jesus' testimony. She spoke about Jesus to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. As the angel announced, today a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. And then the angel says, glory to God, and on earth peace. And Joseph and Mary returned to Nazareth in chapter 2 of Luke, verse 39, where the child Jesus grew up, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Well, let's go back to the baby story as we end. China's in the news. Canada, China, the United States, law, persecution, kidnapping. The gospel was taken to China in the 16th century. A Jesuit named Mato Ricci takes the gospel to China in the 16th century. There's no Bible available in Chinese. So how does he communicate the gospel? He takes pictures. He has a picture of the Virgin Mary holding her child. He has another picture of the crucified Messiah, Christ, on the cross. And so he tries to use the images, the picture of Mary and the baby Jesus and the cross, to indicate the beginning and the end of the Christ story. Well, when he explains the crucifixion, there was complete rejection and abhorrence of that part of the story by the Chinese people. They liked the story of the virgin birth. They liked the story of the manger and Mary and the child. But Bob, as you said it, they rejected the cross on Calvary. Is that like some of the people I met in the Czech Republic? Is that like some of the people we have contact with? We, in some way, celebrate something of the Christ story, but we domesticate the Christ. We place the Christ in the manger. We might even want to leave the Christ in the manger and do not want to focus on the rest of the story and the scandal which becomes the cross. See, the Jews, cursed is anyone that hangs upon a tree. Well, Jesus was hung upon the tree for our sins. Called Jesus because through the cross, he would save his people from their sins. Let's give the last word to the Apostle Paul. In Colossians 1, 15 through 20, and I will, let's say, where it says pronoun about Jesus, I'll use the name Jesus. So listen carefully, because I think Paul brings this home for us. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is before all things. In Jesus, all things hold together. And then Paul says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. So, Bethlehem, That's part of the story. That's the beginning of God's entry. But here's God dying. Here's God making an exit. Here's God, through Jesus, speaking to the souls in prison. Here's God releasing us from bondage, the bondage of the law and the bondage of sin. Here's God with us, the resurrected Jesus. Here's God in the story, the Holy Spirit is very much alive. All that happened, Matthew's gospel, Luke's gospel, is the work of the Holy Spirit. If we're Jesus' people, if we're God's people, we allow the Spirit to work in us, and thereby God's will is being done. Let's respond to that good news and that gospel. Let's stand as we sing.